Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You ever seen like a real soft-spoken parent just finally stand up at the dinner table, slam their hand down, and say, "Enough!" And all of a sudden, those kids are like, "Whoa, you just got my attention." Because this person, now some parents do that all the time, but this person just stepped out of character, and that really gets people's attention. I'm drawn to the idea, and I don't know that we're there yet, but maybe. We'll see where this series goes next. I don't know if Jimmy Butler's going to play, and I don't know how well the Warriors are going to play. If you come out, you're playing well in Game 3, and you've got a flow, and you're comfortable with what's happening because you're getting a home whistle, I don't know how it's going to go. But if what I've seen as far as very targeted, strategic style of physicality that they feel helps against Steph Curry, which is illegal, if he comes out on Saturday night and they're doing that and they're getting away with it and they're winning the game, like especially if Jimmy doesn't play, Steph's going to have to be next level. The ball's going to have to be in his hands even more and he's going to have to play more minutes. So it becomes very important in this game. If I'm Steph, I'm going to look for a way to go get a tech. I'm going to lose my ass.
Yeah.
Because it would not be like a Draymond Green tech. It would get their attention because it's Steph. We watched this in Brooklyn. It was a regular season game.
Yep.
The Warriors are down by 22 points before you got your butt warm. And I don't even think Steph, did he get a tech for that? He didn't even get a tech. He got a foul. But if you remember, if you're a Warrior fan who watches all the games, Steph was furious with what Brooklyn was doing to him. And the Warriors were down like 27-5. In the first quarter, and Steph simply took a simple inbounds pass. He's underneath his own hoop, and he turned around and drove his shoulder into the defense so that an offensive foul could be called so that he could turn to the ref and go, "That's enough of that. That's the crap that they're pulling on me in the other end, and you better fix it. You better start doing your job." And my God, wouldn't you know it, it got their attention. Because nobody ever sees Steph do that. So all I'm saying is we may get there. You know, you keep proposing the question, like, what are you going to do about it? And I don't know how much the Warriors can do. That's the only thing I can come up with. Lose it, dude. Lose it. Punt the ball into the upper deck. Lose your mind. Because that's so not you, I think it would shake the entire arena. Maybe to get somebody's attention.
It might. And I'm just looking at that clip that you're referencing, and they were down 21-5 with 5.5 to go in the first quarter. And before he even gets the inbound, he's being bumped and harassed like he always is. And you're right. He gets the inbound and he just turns and just kapow.
Dude, it's a shiver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve Kerr actually got the tech because after that happens and Curry's kind of going off like, you know, how much longer are you gonna let this go on? And Steve Kerr has his back and he goes bananas and Kerr gets the tech. But I do think that we've reached that point. And if you've got a defender who is putting their arms around you or on you and you don't have the ball, you take your hand and you just slap their arm away and you slap them away and you slap them away. And maybe it gets into a little bit of a confrontation of sorts. You know, no one's going to haul off and punch the chef.
No, but shove him.
Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, shove him.
That's what I'm saying.
And shove somebody into the Rockets bench. I'm not even kidding.
No, I'm not either. And I think that we're long past the need for this to happen. And it's not going to affect his reputation. Nobody's going to, oh my God, kids, we have to give away your Steph Curry jersey because he pushed Dylan Brooks into Ime Udoka. We can no longer revere him. No, it's time for Steph to self-advocate. And I know he shouldn't have to. I agree with you.
He should not have to, yes.
But here we are in year 16, and the whistle that he gets is not even the same whistle that Trae Young gets. Trae Young gets 7.5 free throws a game, and he shoots more twos. His percentage is much lower than Steph.
He goes to the hoop even more.
But Tyler Hero shoots about the same number of threes as Steph, and he gets the same whistle as Steph, and he shouldn't. Steph's a star. You're right, but 16 years in, you can't just sit and wait for the refs to, shout out Spike Lee, do the right thing.
And I'm not even fully, not that I'm not, but I'm not sitting here just advocating for give Steph a different whistle because he's a star. I'm saying give him a different whistle because I see him as defended differently. I really do. I think that the league has decided, because one thing Steph is, when you compare him to Tyler Hero and Trae Young, you know what he is? Way freaking better. He's way harder to stop. He's a way better player. And so I think we've reached a spot where certain defenders especially, but all of the league, they're like, this is our best chance. Our best chance is just to totally just keep wrapping his waist, tackling him, grabbing him when he's off the ball, when no one's even looking. Let's not let him get to his spots, because he's a devastating player who can ruin your year if you let him go off. Unlike almost anybody other in the league. He's that elite, obviously. So this is the approach. It's strategic. It's illegal. And if the referees are not going to watch, despite all of this attention on it, yeah, man. I mean, we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, and I was like, no, Steph still needs to be Steph. I don't know. It's the playoffs. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe Steph needs to throw a mouse piece off of an official's face.
Well, that's suspendable.
Maybe.
We don't want to get that.
I'm kidding.
I know you are.
But I'm not. Like,
exactly.
Dude, get in someone's face and get their attention. Like, because he can like no one else could.
Right. And if he does that, and, you know, maybe he gets a tech, and if it's a game, for your point, like maybe it's game three, or yeah, it's game three and you're down 97-74 early fourth quarter, and it's like, okay, if the Warriors don't make a push here, then we're going to pull the plug and we're going to go to the reserves. At that point, maybe that's where you blow your stack, because a tech is not going to hurt you, and you send a message. Because if Steph gets upset and gets a tech, what's going to be global news?
Completely.
And then the message is sent much stronger than, well, we've sent in four or five clips that indicate that he's being held. And I'm not mocking Steve Kerr and the gentlemanly approach of the Warriors. It's why we love the Warriors, but at some point, when you've asked your neighbor for 11 years to take your dog inside or quiet them down, at some point, you got to call the authorities, or you got to do something a little bit stronger to try to get things right.
K-Way on YouTube, Super Chat, $5. Make a holla. Take a listen. Take a page out of LeBron's book. The refs called game two very differently than game one for the Lakers. Yep, I'll buy that too. They did. Now, in the end, you know, game one went to the Timberwolves because they shot the hell out of the ball. And game two went to the Rockets because Jalen Green shot the hell out of the ball. So I hope everybody doesn't hear this and think either one of us are trying to rob credit away from the game last night. No. The Rockets won the game. The Rockets won the game. And one of the Warriors' stars got hurt. These are all facts. But what I see with Steph Curry, something has got to change. And I don't really know who's going to take the lead. And if the league won't, if I'm Steph, I would think about maybe doing it myself. And the only way to get it, attention at this level, is to do something completely out of character. So, yeah, put the ball in the stands.
If need be.
Yeah.
And to K-Way's Super Chat point, game one Minnesota got called for 21 fouls. The Lakers got called for 10. So the game was officiated more tightly in game two, but game one was a very Laker-friendly whistle. They were only called for 10 fouls. Game two, 46 fouls. It was almost an even split.
Yep.
Lakers were actually called for two more than Minnesota. But I do think that when you get into game three, the Warriors are going to want it called much more like that second Laker-Minnesota game where you're going to want a lot of fouls called in that game.
We're gonna go to the phones, but I just want to let anybody know, anybody who thinks the Warrior-Rocket series is the only physical one, the Knicks and Pistons have already had to be separated.
Oh.
Tobias Harris and Karl Anthony Towns. The score's 3-1.
Late second quarter?
Less than 2 minutes into the game. Less than 2 minutes into the game, and twice already players have had to be separated. So this is them playoffs.
Anybody throw a towel in someone's face yet?
Not yet.
All right. Keep me posted.
Put it on your bingo card. We got a long way to go. Buckle up for a long night. Okay. A lot of you want to weigh in, and we cannot wait to talk to you. So Trish and DW and Rod and everybody else who's filing in right now, here we go. It's all calls the rest of the way up until 6 o'clock, 888-957-9570. That is the number. Warrior postseason coverage is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament, Monday, April 28th. That's also the day of Game 4, so it's going to be a big day. Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by Atco Pest Control. Steiny and Goo are going to be out there, 10 to 2, of course. If you want to play, go to 957thegame.com, click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. Also, we're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. It's Willard and Dibbs.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hand off Jalen Green. Takes a jumper over Kuminga, knocks down another one. Well, the Warriors just haven't guarded him well all tonight. He's worked hard to get his points. He's got 35, but too many open looks for him.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
We said off the top of the show that we'd get interrupted three times today. One of them has already happened.
It has?
Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, that's right.
And it went
to
Evan Mobley, not Draymond Green. We will be interrupted in the 5 o'clock hour multiple times by there's going to be picks made in the NFL draft. Thank you. The 49ers will not select during our time, but Grandy, Evan Gidding, Sterling Bennett will have you all the way up until 10 o'clock. So plenty of NFL draft coming up tonight. And no, you don't know if Walter Nolan is going to be great, so just chill. Right now, names of young people who play college football are going to start firing at us. But there'll be stories. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, we'll see what happens. Travis Hunter, where does he go?
What if Mason Graham falls, Willard?
What if he does?
Oh, the great player.
Value.
Yeah.
Dude, whoever the Niners pick, whatever his name is, I will come in tomorrow with the very strong take of, we'll see.
Well, and you know exactly what I'm going to say.
We'll see. Oh, I like the pick.
And?
I like the player.
There you go. Usually in the other order, right, but you got it right.
I'm gonna come in tomorrow. I want everybody to be ready for this now. I will come in and be like, maybe.
I mean, well, there's a hot take.
We'll see.
I'm going to give him an A+.
We'll see.
I usually give a C+, just as a general rule.
Might be good.
Yep.
Maybe not.
Ask me in 4 years.
You know, exactly.
Coming up tomorrow, Mark Willard reviews the 2021 draft by the Niners.
But Greg Cosell will join us for an hour tomorrow. We got all kinds of stuff to do with the draft. And so we're going to get interrupted there. We also thought we'd get interrupted by some news about Jimmy Butler's MRI. Crickets.
Yeah, so far.
So far.
Interesting about DPOY, and as I've gone, not a deep dive, but just looking at the actual numbers, because you mentioned 100 votes, and each voter was allowed to vote first, second, and third. And even the winner, Evan Mobley, who is the Defensive Player of the Year, he was only named on 85 of 100 ballots. So he wasn't even top three in the mind of 15 voters. And second place, Dyson Daniels, he was only named on 63 of 100. Draymond Green is third. He was named on 54 of 100.
Wow, so barely over half.
It's a long way for me to say that the vote was dramatically split between a number of different players. Seven different basketball players received first place votes, and a total of, I think, 13 guys got a first, second, or a third. So
interesting.
It was absolutely not a consensus among any of them. And, you know, Evan Mobley only got 35 of 100 first place votes, yet he's the winner.
Yeah. I'll also say this. We are looking live right now at all-time great Tim Hardaway being very, very ticked off because his son just got whacked in the face in the Knicks-Pistons game. And he'll be going to the line, Dibs. He got that foul called,
okay,
which means he absolutely was assaulted, because that's what you need in order to get a foul in these NBA playoffs.
Somewhat.
Assault.
Well, there have been an average of 35 fouls per game, and the regular season average was 38, so fouls are down about 7 or 8%, which is what you normally expect in the playoffs, where we're going to let them play, and we don't want to let the refs decide the game.
New York, Detroit, less than 6 minutes into the game. We've had players separated twice. We've got our first flagrant review and a very good look at Thibs' ball dome. Also, we got one of those.
I'm not going to ever hair shame anybody as a man who is basically bald, but when you get to the point where you've got 17 strands of hair and you are combing it and parting it.
Let him go. You're right. You're right.
It might be time to to go take that white flag and just start waving it.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? All right. I thought a really I can't wait to hear from y'all, because I think this is an interesting discussion about the specific way that the Rockets are defending Steph Curry. What do the refs need to do differently, if anything? What does Steph need to do differently? And I'm open to the idea that if this continues at the level that I see it, dude, get a tech. Freak out. Do something you've never done on a court before, because it'll get everyone's attention. Let's go to Trish in Oakland. Hi, Trish. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I don't know what to do about Steph, but the reason I called, you mentioned what we've gone through over the 24 hours. Longtime fan, season ticket holder. My family's hardcore fans. We have been talking about the Warriors more than any other topic in our life, and we were on cloud nine after game one. We forget Warriors in six. How about Warriors in five? We have game four tickets. Let's go Warriors in four.
Okay, Trish.
We were in a fever dream.
No doubt. Go ahead.
After game two, it was from cloud nine. We crashed to the floor with him. And it's been kind of despair.
Trish, you got to come see us on Monday. We're going to be down there somewhere on the complex. So if you've got tickets to game four, come say hi.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go.
All right, Trish. Thanks for calling. Yeah, look, that's part of the playoffs, right? The back and forth. You win game one. We're going to sweep this thing. You lose game two. I can't tell you how many people I've heard today. Oh, dude, we're in trouble. No, like... Just relax.
Yep.
I've always thought the Warriors would win the series. I never thought it was a sweep. Nothing has changed. ... In parentheses, let's wait for Butler results. That would change any prediction that I have. I can tell you that right now. That would change a prediction if Jimmy Butler's going to miss extended period of time.
Fair enough. And the odds makers will tell you that the Warriors are still favored to win the series.
Yep.
And going into yesterday's game, I mentioned it, Warriors minus 370, which means you bet 370 to win 100. They were heavy, heavy favorites. And after the game two loss, they're still favored. Now you only have to bet 178 to win 100, which means it's getting close to even money. If the Warriors lose game three, I still think that the Warriors would be favored to win the series, but it would be very, very close.
Yes, it would. That would be interesting.
Hopefully we don't get to see that.
Hopefully we don't find out. We can send a text message on that.
You have a guy.
Yeah, we got a guy.
Yep.
You want me to send that? We can find out.
Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
And also, just remember yesterday when I told you that the odds makers were saying that the most likely result was going to be Warriors in six.
Warriors in six, yeah.
And so I haven't checked it, but I would bet that that still is the most likely outcome.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, and game six is a home game. So, yes, I would tend to agree, actually. DW in Rincon Valley. Hey, DW, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Willard and Dibs with T-Dubs, man. I love the show. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Second-time caller. The one thing that I wanted to mention was we've got so many young people on our team. I'm not sure if you guys picked up on the Udoka talking with, it was either Moody or Heal, but completely took him out of the play. The play had just finished. It should have been our team getting back together, yet here's Udoka, not even in the game, now getting into the head of one of our players, and we start to ask ourselves, well, if Jimmy Buckets goes down, well, who's going to step up? Well, we're going to have a lot of youth going to, you know, get people coming in and out. Without Butler on our team, we go back to playing mediocrity ball. And Kuminga, as young as he is, I still think that he's going to be a superstar in the wings for a minute. But it's gonna take time. People just need to pump the brakes. Without Butler on our team, we wouldn't be where we are today. What did we need? Well, we needed leadership. We didn't really know we needed leadership until Butler came on the team. We needed a mentor. Didn't really need a mentor. We get Jimmy Buckets. Guess what? It's a completely different team. We now are excited again to get into the playoffs. Why? Because of Buckets. Now he's hurt. Reality. We have a bunch of 36, 37-year-olds on the team. Makes it really difficult to be competitive with a young, mugging us, pickpocketing us Houston Rockets team.
D-Dub, appreciate it, man. I agree with just about everything that he said. Jonathan Kuminga may be a huge part of the Game 3 game plan if there's no Jimmy Butler, but Ime Udoka has already proven in this league that he's a very, very good coach. And a lot of what he preaches and his approach is not just the X's and O's of basketball. It is the mental game. It's the game within a game. And he has gotten very chirpy with Warrior players already in recent games, more so than other coaches are willing to do. And so... I don't know. I respond to that in agreement that Jimmy Butler, like I called him a week ago or so, he's a walking Valium, man. He calms everything down. He's just a big, deep breath. But these role players, man, you got to not fall into that. Like, I'm not talking to Ime Udoka on the floor if I'm a Warrior player, if I'm Buddy Hield or anyone. I'm not talking to you. Just go play your game.
Draymond was talking to him.
Well, but Draymond's going to talk to everybody.
Right.
And that's his game.
That's right. And they had a bit of an exchange after there was a hard foul on somebody in the game, and Draymond was over there talking to the officials, and then Udoka was there as well, and you could see the two of them sharing their opinion and insights as to what had happened and the goings-on of the basketball game. And, you know, Udoka's really kind of cut from that same cloth, and you probably don't remember him as a player. I certainly don't, but I did some research on exactly what kind of player he was, and he was a tough guy, an enforcer, not a big scorer, and he played for San Antonio, and he learned under Popovich.
Yep.
So he's from that same school that Steve Kerr came from, and you know, one quote that I was reading from him before that I actually really like, and his slogan is, "Sometimes you, sometimes me, always us."
Oh.
And that is the Rockets' mantra. In other words, like, it might be Jalen Green's night, it might be Şengün.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me, but it's always us.
I like that.
I do too.
I like that. That's good. How about Rod in Vallejo? Hey, Rod, what's going on? Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, great show, guys.
Thanks, man.
You guys are suggesting that Curry starts slapping the hands off and retaliating when these guys start grabbing and holding on him. This strategy has been tried before, back in 75 when the Warriors were playing the Washington Bullets in that championship series, up 3-0, when Casey Jones had Mike Reardon do the same thing to Rick Barry, and Adels immediately knew what they were trying to do, get both players kicked out. Of course, the Warriors are going to be hurt by far more with Barry going out. Well, this is the same thing that Houston's doing. Let Curry get into an altercation. Both players get kicked out. It's going to hurt the Warriors worse. That's why Adels went berserk on Mike Reardon, because he knew what the strategy was. That's why you have to be very careful with this, because they want to get both players ejected.
Well, here's what I would say, Rod, because you're going into the Wayback Machine.
No, that was awesome, 50 years ago.
Awesome, but it was a very, very different NBA. And if I'm Steph Curry, here's my strategic advantage. Those refs are not throwing me out, period.
No.
There is no way, no how, in hell, that the referees are throwing Steph Curry out. And I'm actually not even, I know he's referring to your comment about slapping arms away. I'm not even really talking about getting into a physical tussle with the opponent. I'm talking about getting the official's attention. If you keep getting tackled, take a timeout, grab the basketball, and punt it into the concession stand.
Well, you're ejected then.
No, you're not.
You that's an automatic ejection. If you punt the ball into the 17th row, absolutely.
I don't know that.
I do know that.
You don't?
Actually, yes.
It's not automatic.
That's an automatic. That's an auto.
Anyway, you know
the only times he's been ejected is when he threw his mouthpiece into the crowd.
You know that I'm using that as an exaggeration of what you can do. Yes, an exaggeration sensation.
That's right.
The bottom line is, you get their attention by stepping out of your norm and your comfort zone. And he can do that. We just detailed when he did it in Brooklyn.
Yep.
However you want to do it. You want to foul someone really hard? You want to shove someone and get into some sort of an altercation? Do you want to kick something? Yes, you're not going to get thrown out. Steph Curry is not getting thrown out. But there's a way to get the official's attention when they're having a hard time seeing what the rest of us are seeing, which is arm bars around the waist on every drive. It's not legal.
It's not.
And they got to call it.
Well, and I don't know if it's them not seeing it. I'm sure they see it, but to the point that Ime Udoka has made, and you've made it throughout the course of the week, they're going to try to make the officials call everything, and the refs just simply can't do that, and they won't do that. And I think about an NFL game where, you know, the old saying, you can call holding on every play. Well, you can, and you can call defensive holding on the cornerback or, you know, illegal contact outside of 5 yards. How often does a corner contact the wide receiver beyond 5 yards? Well, every single time.
Right.
And
right.
Illegal man downfield. Offensive linemen get 1 yard until the ball is thrown, and you don't often see it called when a guy is a yard and a third off, and all these things, you can call it constantly, and I think that the Rockets are pushing the envelope here,
for sure,
knowing that the best way to go about winning in this series is to do just that.
We'll keep going on the phones. Mary Kay Cabot, who's covered the Browns and Cleveland sports forever,
yep,
tweeted a short time ago, the Browns are believed to have something cooking at number two.
Okay.
Number two.
I love it.
Teams are calling. They are listening. Strap in.
Okay.
That's the tweet from Mary Kay. Niners going to get Travis Hunter?
I mean, I doubt it.
Draft day in Cleveland. This is like Christmas in Cleveland every year. Unbelievable.
Well, it's the best it gets in Cleveland, usually, is the hope of a draft. And you're usually drafting high, and you usually take somebody, and then you're thrilled until you get to September, and then you realize, oh, that's right, we're the Browns.
Find a way to mess it
up.
Oh, gosh. Let's keep going. How about Luke on 19th Avenue? Woo, that's slow. Hey, Luke, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, not moving too fast.
Yeah, but, I bet.
thanks for letting me on.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about Curry being held and everything, but also I want to step back and say, big picture, I'm so thankful to see the Warriors in this position again with a true chance to do something that we don't know what they could do. And I love watching basketball. because of Steph, Clay, and Draymond and the team that they've created. They got me watching it. But I'm hoping Butler gets better. And as far as Curry getting held, and I like your idea about him showing some emotion or some big reaction to draw attention to it. There's some attention on it already. I like your idea, but I think maybe he might have even better of a result by wearing some kind of a hip slider pad underneath the shorts that with like a pad there, because the hip bone area is kind of like a handle, and that's what guys are doing. They're grabbing that. And I mean, I'm only saying this because I have some slider shorts, and I know they would make it a little harder to grab, and the jersey's a bit slippery on them. And, you know, it's going to make a little bit of difference, and maybe it takes a lot of ideas to make this happen, but I think he would get away, you know, a little bit more with that.
Well, I'll tell you this, and Luke, thank you very much for calling. When we say it's like my idea, it's less of an idea and more like, let's be open to this. Maybe. I don't think Curry comes out and does it in game three, but be open to the idea of stepping out of your comfort zone to get the officials' attention. What he's talking about changing the outfit is kind of a fun idea. Can you wear like lights around your waist so that anytime someone touches you, like your whole butt lights up? Maybe something like that would really get people's attention.
I was thinking about like shorts that could electrify as soon as somebody touches it. They just get a little shock. Like, you know that little tennis racket that you have to swat bugs away, that little bug zapper?
Yes.
Get like bug zapper shorts so that as soon as Amen Thompson wants to clutch up on you, you get a little zzz.
Bug zapper? Did we get a bug tussle?
I didn't hear it.
Did we get a bug tussle?
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I think what happened was Jimmy Butler got hurt, and it just kind of zapped all of the fun out of Fitz.
No doubt.
Yeah. Fitz is like, we're not doing three-pointers from bug tussle because I'm just bugged.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If he gave us a bug tussle, we'd know about it. We'd hear from any of our listeners, or we would have heard.
Yeah.
100%. It did not happen.
All right. You got a book. We got to talk to Fitz again before this series is over because
he owes us.
I feel owed.
Yeah. Game five.
Yeah.
Game five loading.
Okay. Perfect. How about let's go out to Hayward and talk about, let's talk to Josh. Hi, Josh. What's going on?
What's up, y'all? Hey, man, I'm sorry in advance, but I got an event. This is my 188 get help on Kuminga and this roller coaster that we're in.
That's what we're here for, Josh. No, go ahead. Vent away.
Let's get it. I've got a data dump, and I'll try to be concise in 3 points. One, I think we kissed Kuminga goodbye. And frankly, no one wants to hear this, but I think we kissed Kuminga goodbye once we had Jimmy Butler signed. Like, there was just Kerr and Dunleavy knew that there was no lineup that could work with Draymond, Jimmy, and Kuminga. There's just too many Tarzans, and we need a couple more Janes. And the other situation that I could think about when it comes to Kuminga's situation is the one with Jason Tatum in the Olympics. Like, Kerr makes his bed with certain players, and Kuminga is one of them. And the only thing that was good for Jason Tatum is that it only lasted a month. For Kuminga, it's going to last, 4 years? And so the last thing that I'll say is, here we go. I'm making my stake. I think Kuminga is going to be back up on the roller coaster, going upwards. He's going to have a focal point in game three. Even if Jimmy Butler is healthy, we still lose the rebounding stat line. And I think Kuminga helps us in that with just some athleticism and physicality. So that's my take. I appreciate you guys for listening to me, and thanks for letting me vent.
Yeah, Josh, glad you got it off your chest. Respectfully, I'm going to say the same thing to anybody who calls in and suggests that Jonathan Kuminga can this, that, or the other if Jimmy Butler's playing. I disagree. I just do. It doesn't fit. Steve has explained this 1,000 times. The analytics are terrible. You want Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green on the floor, and Jonathan doesn't fit with him. If Jimmy's out, I'm all in on JK getting a shot and seeing if he can be kind of the second leading scorer for the team on that given night. And he has had success against Houston in the past. So I have no issue there. The other thing, and I wonder what you think about this, Dibs, the other thing Josh just brought up is something I do hear a lot that I don't know how to even agree or disagree with this, which is the idea that the Warriors were supposed to know at the trade deadline that Jimmy would fit, not just fit, but fit in a certain way that would sort of render what Jonathan does as more meaningless than it used to be. They should have known that ahead of time and traded Jonathan when they had the chance. Steve has repeatedly said, we found something.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could know exactly what Jimmy was going to look like and which players he would pair well with. I don't know how you could know that. But they found it, and they found it partially not just because they got Jimmy, but because Jonathan was out when Jimmy got here.
Right, so you were able to see that, whoa, Jimmy Butler fits, and we're winning, and this is great. And he even said it to us, Steve did, when we interviewed him during the time that Jonathan was out. He didn't know how Jonathan would fit, and he didn't know what combinations might make sense. And then you got a chance to see it over 10 or 12 or more games, and you realize that the combination of Jimmy and JK and Draymond all together, it didn't really work. And, you know, the idea of trading Jonathan Kuminga, you have to remember that when they were hot after Kevin Durant, he was rumored to be a part of that deal.
Yes, he was.
So they, in fact, did try to trade Jonathan Kuminga. And it's not because they don't believe in him, but they were big game hunting, and reportedly he was a part of the package that Phoenix was going to get for Kevin Durant.
No doubt.
And then when it came time to do the deal with Miami, for whatever reason, he wasn't a part of that trade. Miami had their eyes on other players, and so it worked out in a different fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your phone calls. The draft is going to get started in about 20 minutes. We'll be all over that. We're still waiting for MRI news on Jimmy Butler. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Rockets get Şengün, Jalen Green, open three, no good. Heal the rebound, touch pass Curry, ahead to Kuminga. Euro steps in, goes up and scores on the break.
Nice break.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Should clip Tommy Tolbert there and use that every time we come back from break. Nice break.
Nice.
Yeah, a good one. Boogie, 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 can't you see?
Oh.
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
Look at you.
Boogie Cousins. Considered kind of a thank you. Kind of a tough guy, right? Boogie, boogie, boogie. Listen to this comment about the Rockets, not the Warriors, not the game, not the game that I love.
We're talking about Rockets.
We're talking about Rockets. Just the Rockets. Quote, I think the refs are letting too much go. I enjoy the physicality of it, but there are some plays that got missed. DeMarcus Cousins.
Former Rocket.
Former Warrior.
Former Rocket.
And former Warrior.
Yeah. I mean, I'd forgotten about his Rockets era.
You'd forgotten about his Warriors era too, right?
Former Clipper.
Former a lot of things.
Former Buck.
Former King.
Former Nugget. Former Nugget.
That is
former
a Nugget.
Former Pelican.
Yeah.
Former Pelican,
former
yeah.
Former Pelican.
I mean, jeez. Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyhow.
Yep.
Anyhow is right.
I don't think he's wrong, and it all comes down to the way the game's officiated. And you could say that about any game, although this Detroit-New York game, you probably want Mills Lane.
Oh my God.
Let's get it on. And he's a boxing ref, for those of you who don't get the reference.
If you want to feel better about Warriors-Rockets physicality, you can watch Knicks-Pistons with us. And let's see, we're one quarter in.
Yep.
We've already had three technical fouls. We've already had one flagrant foul. And we've already had three dust-ups.
Yeah, I mean, more than just dust-ups.
Dust-ups.
Right. We've had almost hands throw.
Right.
Hands fly. And I don't know how many fouls they've called, but I think it speaks to the greater point that you've made about Rockets and Warriors, where you could call a foul on almost every trip down the floor, and they're not going to do that. And it's just, it's difficult to officiate any game, but when you get into the playoffs, it becomes even more difficult. And the majority of the games have been officiated a little bit looser than the regular season. And I'm looking at this series actually is the one where the first game was 42 total fouls.
Uh-huh.
The last game was 46 total fouls. So of all the physicality that we've seen throughout all the series, this series has had the most fouls called of any series in the association.
14 minutes into the game, there have been 13 fouls called.
Yeah.
13 fouls called. So which they're ahead of pace.
Right. So they're on pace for about 45 fouls. And as I mentioned, 42 and 46 in games one and two. So, I mean, you really could call fouls on almost every possession. Nobody wants that. But I do think that what we want when it comes to Steph Curry is just let the guy run around and not have to held and restricted so much.
Yeah, like, and I don't even want to have it sound like that. Let him do what he wants. Like, no, I don't mean that. But to me, to my eye, there's a very clear targeted strategy being employed by the Rockets. And it's not general physicality. It's arm bars at the waist. And that's why you keep seeing Steph get tackled so much. Arm bars at the waist. Off ball, on ball. When he gets by you, arm bar. Grab shorts, arm bars all the way. And it's illegal. It's illegal every time. And I don't know if I saw it get called once. Like, you gotta call that. And if they're not going to call it, and you've been asking, hey, Warriors, what are you going to do about it? And you and I had a debate for a whole day one time where I'm like, it's not the Warriors' issue to fix. The league needs to fix it. But it's playoff time. No more waiting around. Maybe if I see this for a quarter and a half Saturday night, if I'm Steph, yeah, dude, I'm taking a jersey off and throwing it. I'm doing something. I'm getting a technical. I am getting a technical foul in some sort of a physical manner just to shake everybody. Get your attention, because the Steph technical would do it. How about Sam in Livermore? Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks. This is a great time of the year because the Warriors are back in a 7-game series.
Yeah, man.
I'm so happy. So I've got a couple of points to make, guys. One's about the fouls on Curry. It seems like the referees rarely call a foul off the ball when the action is not around the ball. And Curry, you know, the kind of guy he is just moving around all the time. He never stops. And he's getting grabbed when the referees are paying attention to where the ball is, and they're missing the calls, and they just don't make those calls. And then the second point I was going to make, I think Tom Tolby was talking about that. And Houston, we don't want to go on a fast break game with these guys. We have to slow them down, it seems like. And I think the best way to do that, as Tom, I think Tom was saying, is don't go aggressively after the rebounds, after the miss. Get back on defense and slow these guys down, because if they get the rebound in this fast break, and they're just too much. You can't stop them. Those are my two points. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, Sam, thanks. I think you've got some good ideas, but I don't want to take away from the Warriors the ability to go after an offensive rebound. I think that's too much of a concession, and I actually don't think, for a good defensive club, I don't think too many fast breaks come off of rebounds from misses. I think they come much more off of turnovers. I think they come off of steals that are happening or lazy passes that end up going the other way. And so I'm with you from the standpoint of the number one thing to stop is the Rockets getting easy baskets at the bucket in transition. And the best way to stop that is to have the Rockets turn the ball over more than you did. We've said it for a couple of days. This is, if you want a box score dive, for me, it's this. There's one stat and one stat only. I don't care what Steph scores. I don't care what Jalen Green scores. Just look at the turnovers. Game one, Rockets 16, Warriors 11, Warriors win. Game two, Warriors 15, Rockets 10, Rockets win. By double digits, both games. That's it.
Pretty simple, dude.
Turn it over 13 or less and win the game. That's what I think the Warriors formula is.
And two of the games in the regular year, Warriors turned it over 20 or more times, and those are the two games they lost.
Yeah.
And I know that 20's a lot, and they were 0-6 in the regular year when they turned it over 20 or more times. So I don't know what the league record is for teams that turn it over 20 or more times. Probably not very good, but we do know that the Warriors' magic number is about 15, and when Jimmy Butler came, turnovers went down. And then last night, Jimmy Butler goes out late first quarter, and turnovers go back up. Now, they didn't get over 15, but you turned it over a lot, and eventually the last 4 minutes of the game didn't really matter anyway. So you got into key stretches, and Draymond had 5, and Steph had 6, and if they're your primary ball handlers and they're going to give it away 11 times, you're going to be in trouble.
Rockridge Baller in Oakland is next up on Willard and Dibs. What up, Baller?
Willardino. Dibberino. What's up, my brothers?
What's going on?
What's up, baller?
So great to talk to you. I want to thank you for every day. You entertain. You educate. I love you. You're the best.
Oh, thanks, man.
Willard, my brother, I got to come down your lane a little bit.
Let's do it.
You are so complimentary of Mr. Doka. Called him a great coach. Said the league has seen and established that he's a great coach. I don't think so. I think he is a predator. And here's what I have to say about him. And it's not just a basketball note or comment. This is a public service announcement. Predators need not apply. How long are we going to put up with this shizzle, my grizzle? All right? He got run out of Boston because he was an actual sexual predator. Now he's in Houston, and how many chances do you get? I guess he got another. He's in Houston teaching young men to be basketball predators. Now, I've been playing and watching a little bit of coaching of basketball for the last 40 years, all right? Now, we all know when we're on court with these guys, they know they can't hang with you, so they got to hit you. They got to hold you. They got to get out their little, like, fingernails, sharpen them up, and scratch you. So I have a solution, all right? We got solutions, right? I worked with a director on a film, and he was great, and he was so mad. You come to me with a comment, you got a note, but you don't got a solution? All right, here's the solution. Wrist holding. Like Harden, Dim brought up earlier, they changed the rules for Harden for his weak-ass rip-through fouls. Change the rule. No hugging. You gotta keep your hands out. Better yet, keep them behind your back, brother. We had a drill in high school where if we got more fouls than the opposition in the previous game, my coach would make us play the entire next practice with our hands behind our back on defense. You do not hug. You do not hold. You do not grab. Steph Curry is better than you. Get better at basketball and deal with it. I have to say, I love you, fellas. Keep doing the great work.
Rock Ridge Baller, man. Thank you very much for the call. First of all, the rule change that you're throwing out there is already a rule. You're already not allowed to hug people. You're already not allowed to arm bar people. And as far as your Udoka comments, here's what I'll say. I'm not going to act like I know what the hell happened behind the scenes in Boston. I've heard things. I know what's alleged. But if this guy was actually a convicted sexual predator, he wouldn't be the coach of the Rockets. He'd be in jail. That doesn't mean
that
he's innocent.
That felt a little too strong.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's an innocent person. I have no clue what actually happened that made the Boston Celtics move on from him. So the only thing I can do is tell you the results that I see when he coaches. And he helped build up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown into what ended up becoming champions. He's moved on to a new team, and they look like they're on the exact same arc. So there is some success there. Doesn't mean he's a great person. Never met the guy. Don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So all I can do is see what I see.
Yeah, and what you see from Houston is a team that has gotten better over the last 2 years that he's been there. Year over year, they got better. From 2 years ago, they've gone from being, you know, bottom of the table, the number two seed, and they play a certain way, and you may not like the way they play because it's physical and you've got a superstar who doesn't tend to get the calls that you want to get anyway in any game, in any series, and the numbers would prove that out, and you've got somebody who has a track record, and he got fired in Boston for stuff that didn't have much to do with coaching.
Right.
It had to do with off-the-court stuff, and so it's easy to root against him and villainize him, but to call him a predator, I think is too strong.
I agree with you. At least, I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that. So you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM in HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.